You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59, and this is Bread and Roses.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bud, Bloom, and Blossom, the continuing tell of one woman's transformational journey, Saturday, April 2nd at 8 p.m. at the Hip Bone Studio in Portland. Gabrielle Juliet celebrates the endurance, joys, and challenges of the human spirit through song, dance, and dramatic theater and improv. There will be nudity and adult themes. Again, that's Bud, Bloom, and Blossom, the continuing tell of one woman's transformational journey, Saturday, April 2nd at 8 p.m. at the Hip Bone Studio, 1847 East Burnside Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. This class is for those who want to name and correct liberal racism, who want to understand and interrupt isms, and who want to be a powerful ally and take on race issues and white fragility without co-opting the issues. Again, that's The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. at Hatch, 2420 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Information on how to register for the class and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
At KBOO, we have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers who keep the station running. Depending on your interest and availability, there's a great variety of things to do. KBOO offers training in radio production, voice and microphone skills, audio editing and field recording for volunteers who have attended volunteer orientation and commit to volunteering to fill the station needs. Do you want to get involved? Contact Ani, the volunteer coordinator. Her email address is volunteer@kboo.org, or call her at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, are touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Hi, good evening. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host tonight, Pamela Santos. Bread and Roses is a collective of women radio activists. We offer feminist public affairs programming that's been about, I want to say, 38 years. We definitely hold space here for feminist issues and for women on KBOO. If you are interested in joining the collective, you can contact our volunteer coordinator, volunteer@kboo.org. Tonight is a really special show for us. I can speak for myself, but I'm just going to say for everyone. We have special guests today who are going to be reading live in studio. And we're also going to be just having a conversation about how it is to create art in Portland. And so I'm going to let each of our guests introduce themselves. And I'm just going to ask also that what we're doing is we're just going around with gender pronouns, and we're just going to jump right into the readings right after. So let's go with Intisar first.
Okay. My name is Intisar Abioto, and my pronouns are she and her.
My name is Aisha Abioto. My pronouns are she and her.
My name is Kalima Abioto, and my pronouns are she and her. Mm-hmm. And them, and they, everyone.
Thank you. And just in case you never knew, mine are she and her. So now we're going to just start off with the first piece.
Diary entry at 5:51 p.m., January 13th. Slowing down, drinking myself in, drinking in my thoughts, drinking in what I have done, drinking in what I have yet to do. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to be anything special. I know greatness, vastness, depth. I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be scared. Not afraid, not wanting, not afraid, not wanting, not afraid, not wanting. And that's the first piece.
Thanks, Kalima.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. This is called This Generation. This generation is built on books that teach us spells and how to fly brooms. This generation is made up of gods and goddesses that control weather with a single hand. This generation may have cuts and scars, but we are worthy. We have joined protests that shook the earth. We are the ones that will decide what this world will look like. We are warriors that have stood above what others have said about us. We are psychics and empaths. We are children of a world so cruel yet so beautiful. So the next time you think this generation is lazy and worthless, remember this. We are strong, we have fought, and are still fighting for freedom, for equality, for peace, and for a life without fear.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Freedom in stages. Free. That's all. Free like a prayer or something, like a song you want to sing over and over again when you were little so that the words smush together and you are singing gummy syllables that sound good to you as you ride in the back of the car. Free like something like that. Free like not remembering what happened yesterday. Free like I don't know. Free like not really caring if this is a good poem or a poem at all. Free like halfway caring if I want to. Free like not looking in the mirror for how I will look. Free like something. Free like a trope running all over the place. Free like a boy. Free like a boy. Free like a boy. Free like a girl who has doubled herself over wondering if she's free. Free like that free. Free like throw up, which is really free. Free like thinking, shoot, I don't want to do that anymore. Free like writing a poem you need to write to yourself. Free like saying the words. Free like stomping your foot in church or in the Davison Rare Books room while looking at rare books. Free like looking yourself in the mirror and thinking, shoot, I'm pretty, even though. Free like thinking. Free like writing, free like over and over again. Free like taking up all the space. Free like not looking down when you come in the room and your paper is late. Free like hating someone simply because you love them. Free like not caring about the academic and whether this or that was a sick, sad love poem that everybody has ever written that will never be good because so many people were only trying to let go of something. Free like that crafty, uncrafty love poem. Yeah, that love poem of half-spoken syllables and smear it like spit slip lips, which people will always write and which will always help people. Free like that poem, which is of people. Free like breath. Free like a word I can't say on the air. Free like walking. Free like sitting with yourself silently after something happens to you or you have happened something to yourself, and remembering something good about yourself you need to remember, which you could, if you choose to, then forget. Echoing something inside your ribs as you hold yourself with arms or not. Something okay. Just something okay. That's all being free is, today it seems. What is being free tomorrow?
Thank you so much. I feel like I'm taking the role of another collective member in Bread and Roses. I want to take this time to thank Leanne Kranz, who isn't co-hosting today, but honestly made this happen. Mm-hmm. So very grateful.
Yes. Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's just going to be the theme. It's just me thanking all these other people. It's just... So I'm just going to give our listeners a little background. They can look this up on the internet, but I'm going to try to say a little bit from what, you know, I've already found from here. Both of you, it's already in both of your bios that you're from Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Get right into that. And there are four sisters.
Yeah. Oh, there are five sisters.
Five.
So there's one who's
not
here today.
What did I do? I went one plus four. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. Mm. And depending on, and you can't hear one of them, who's also in the studio here today, also. But yes, we have four of the five Apioto sisters represented today at KBOO. A lot of what I was thinking about when I was thinking about this show was why it was important to kind of have both of you on, and thinking about art and also shared experience when you're in the same family, obviously, but also that you happen to be in the same city now. A little bit of what I guess I wanted to even just start for people is, why Portland?
Well, do you guys want to talk about it?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of random. Our mom was planning to move from Tennessee, from Memphis, and mm-hmm. I had just finished college. I think Kalim, well, you were still in college at the time, maybe.
I had actually just finished college.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it was kind of, we had variously just got that out of college. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she was planning to do some raw food things in California, and we were looking for a space there. We didn't see what we wanted. I had just randomly heard about Portland, and they came here the next day to look at it. So it was just kind of a fluke. It wasn't like, let's go from Memphis to Portland. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons that California didn't happen was because there was like a earthquake while
we were in the hotel room. Yeah. It was like a small one. It was really small. And my mom was like, well, let's just look, you know, like, let's just look somewhere else. And so, you know, it was pretty close. So we got rerouted.
Knocking. I still haven't been through an earthquake, so. Knocking.
Yeah.
On whatever wood is in here right now.
Yes. We got to learn about the earthquakes here in Oregon. Yeah. It's like the one that's supposed to come or something.
The big one.
The big
saying.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
The big one. Yeah.
I had moved from New York, mm-hmm. and I just thought, okay, well, you know, I escaped like the hurricanes in Florida. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, wait, the West Coast earthquakes.
Yeah. Here we are together.
Learning about the earth and all her wonder. Her, his, their wonder. Yes. Mm.
And so I brought up the why Portland because it's interesting, based on your project in this art. Is, by the way, if I keep like like, obviously massacring your name. Please tell
me. It's pretty good. Intisar. But Intisar. Then people change it sometimes. Sometimes people call me Intisar, which isn't exactly my name. But
it's that extra I, right?
Yeah, it's the T. Sometimes people take out the T. What? Sometimes call me, you know, it's just, but yeah, you got it. You're all right.
Clearly, I have no ego about it. So it's just like, yeah, please. It's your name. You're in the last, I want to say, what is it now? Like 3 years with the, like, mm-hmm. doing this Black Portlanders mm-hmm. project. So it's really interesting because I love the work. I love the stories that you've been collecting. Most recently, a couple of the photos at Reed College. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to even just start that. It's like, oh, you are documenting Black Portlanders. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's this kind of necessary work mm-hmm. Out there. And so it's like, oh, yeah, how did you even come here? This is just, I think other people have said the same story, too, about that it's random.
Yeah, it's pretty random. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. We're still here. We've kind of been back and forth sometimes between Memphis and different people wanting us to check out other places. But, yeah, we are still here doing stuff.
Did you Wikipedia Portland? Because I did not Wikipedia racism.
Yeah, we did. We did.
For Portland or Oregon. And I kind of wish I did.
Yeah, I think we saw something in the Wikipedia article, but it didn't go in depth. And mm-hmm. I think that anybody who's coming here, there's stuff you miss because it's not like on Front Street mm-hmm. that the history, I found it to be like a slow, steady unveiling of, it's like, oh, what happened? What this? Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. It's curious.
It's amazing that you have a smile about it.
I mean, too, I just think it's like kind of crazy. I mean, it's like that crazy smile, like, yeah.
That's like, did you just hear that too? Like, oh, yeah, I heard that right mm-hmm. now. This. And I guess I wanted to go around too of, I already said, why Portland? So, like, what's keeping you here? Despite, you know.
Well, I think it's definitely family, you know, family being here. And also go to school here right now. I'm at PSU and working on some art and... that's also what's keeping me here. Aisha, what's keeping you here?
Mainly because my mother is moving here. I kind of have to be here. But mainly a lot of arts opportunities that I can take so I can be my most creative self when I do get older. So, yeah.
I really liked your poem.
Thank you.
Me too.
The nice thing that I liked about it was that I think that it's hopeful, mm-hmm. like at the core of it, even though there's that, things are not as shiny and wonderful, you know, but this is like, we still have hope.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I'm kind of glad.
I agree with you, and I think it's a true statement about like her generation, like just the things that are happening now, like just with youth and with everybody, really. It's for real. People are out there in the streets and they're telling their stories, and it's powerful.
It is. And I don't think we said this, like Aisha's 16, I'm 29, and Kalima is 28. So there's a big age difference between us. Like, and I think that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Aisha? Do you feel like they got to experience more so that you didn't have to? Or do you feel like you have your own share of things you're experiencing, too?
I think because we have sort of, in this family, we really do like to share things with each other. And we like to make sure each other's, you know, doing okay, stuff like that. So I think it's just like, sometimes I feel like that, and sometimes I don't.
I was really thinking about, I don't think it's negative. I think that just to be able to call stuff out and just saying, like, it can be really challenging to do art when you're not only a person of color, but to be a black person, like a black artist in Portland.
Yeah.
And I find it amazing that you have said that there's arts opportunities. Yay! You know, some people would be kind of feeling maybe like there aren't enough opportunities
mm-hmm.
for young people here in Portland.
Yeah. I mean, because I moved here when I was like younger, I feel like I kind of grew up here, so things like that, like the art, that's really impacted my life. And so I mainly feel like there are a lot of opportunities for me to take and a lot of things for me to do here that I normally wouldn't get back in Memphis. So, yeah.
I'll take the spotlight off of you. So it's cool. I'll stop bringing you on the spot.
If you don't mind me mentioning, Aisha's a visual artist as well.
Yeah.
She has her creations or characters that she likes to draw. So,
yeah. And she's been doing that since she was really young, like 5-ish maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's still doing it. Yeah.
It's great how when I originally was talking about what you could do on the air, it's like, oh, well, like whatever you can read. But acknowledging just for everybody here that's listening that you all obviously use a lot of different mediums, photography, video, film. You can definitely check either of them out on Vimeo, as I have. On it's Abioto for both of them. Like I saw both works on there.
Remember, we have a couple of Vimeo accounts. Maybe one is Abioto, and it has. Yeah. I think it has some of our other sister's music on it. Maybe I think Kalima, you have one yourself.
I think it's the Ace clips. Book or Abioto and the Ace Book, and we have a couple.
We have so many different projects. It's just, things.
Yeah, and I had even seen you at the Holding Space kind of event. I always forget whether that's the title for that event.
Holding Space. It's Holding Space.
At Holocene back in February. And it was just so amazing. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I was able to watch when you did your like performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to catch anybody else too long. I heard it was really like packed.
It was. It was really beautiful. There was so many.
Oh my gosh!
It was a good space.
It was.
The performers were really like of great
in it. They were in it. Yeah.
And there wasn't any. I could not think of any kind of, I don't want to say constraint, but there wasn't like one unifying thing that everybody did. There was like poetry. There was like bands.
Mm-hmm.
Some music. Dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of one of them was like incorporating kind of light, right? Like there was different visual aspects, I think, in some people's. So it was kind of this all around sensory experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how much work does it take to actually have people come together to hold space for artists of color?
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, of course, we have to stay, have to thank Stacey Tran for putting that space together. Cause
thank you,
really,
Stacey.
Yeah, it was really her creation, bringing us together and with warmth and care and just telling us, you know, just do what you need to do. So, yeah, I think those spaces are important, getting people together to do that and being intentional about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say you put more, I think I don't even know if I think about it as more effort. I think it's just kind of what artists of color have to do to create and then to get their work out. I don't think it's this thing that you intentionally don't try to hold space for. I think it just is part of what people do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been thinking a lot about audience and like considering your audience when you make art. And I think, I mean, we all do that to some extent, but I feel like in another way I haven't. And I think I've been having experiences where I think spaces like that are important because it just becomes about the, it can become about the artist's view of themselves as the audience, as like the people around them, other artists of color as the audience.
Yeah.
And I think it can be challenging when you're going as an artist, as you like grow and you approach different venues, to keep your voice clear as you, despite, you know, like whatever the audience is or the viewers. I think it's important.
It is important. I've been kind of doing these like street performances. And I don't know, it's been interesting, like not going into like a pre-prepared space and just having people like see you. I really like that freedom. Yeah. Like just putting yourself out there to be seen and letting also that be the thing, like you just want to be seen. not having control and and not in that way of being online and people can just say things, you know, but like having like an exchange of energy, of like stranger energy.
Well, that's just the nature of what performance is, right? Like having that, you're having that relationship with that person who's like a human being, like in front of you. They can see you, you can see them. And I'm not even going to describe, it's too bad. If you weren't at Holding Space on that night, I'm not going to describe the performance. I think it's harder to describe a performance that you've seen if you haven't seen it and experienced it. But I can at least tell you my reaction to it. It was like, wow, that was powerful. Like when you see stuff in a moment, have you had, Kalima, when you've done the street performances, have you had audience, whoever has witnessed it, talk to you about it, like what you've done? Like afterwards, have you had those kind of dialogues?
No, I haven't. And I think, I guess, for me, that's the part of the development that I would, that's part of developing the performance that I still have to develop, you know, like, I guess the interacting with people in a word sense, you know. So no, I haven't. It's just been more of like, you know, stares, or maybe people think I'm a little crazy, you know. But no dialogue, which is just fine right now.
I am going to take a little break and come back with a couple more things we'll get into. But we're just going to take a musical break. This upcoming artist is Ginger Brew. How did I hear of this person? From someone's Tumblr, Asians Doing Everything.
Oh, yes.
And as far as I know, they're not from Brooklyn, but they're based out there now, I guess. And they have this song that once you get to the line in it, you're like, oh, this is what I kind of wish I played at when I had a show on International Women's Day. And for me, I feel like I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but I just feel like, oh, this, I want to play this right now. So this is Ginger Brew, If We All Wait. coming up.
Oh, dear children, tell me, what have you done to reap what I have sown? Yeah, we're watching from above. Bring me pride. Oh yeah, you've heard our cries. Now we're watching from above. Yeah, we're watching. Children swallowed aliases as the aliens. Others not given the choice not to be a slave. Somebody's gun bodies took with them their choice to a sweeter trade. Their choice to a sweeter trade. But the cage will kill us all. Cause I gotta say, if we all wait for our say, we'll be here forever. If we all wait for our say, we'll be here forever. Yes and no no's. Fighting for our mother country, where mothers were interned. One too many hundred thousands. Come on, come on, come on. 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 Cause while we pray and march for hands up, don't shoot. Why do we gotta ask? Hands up, don't loot. You and me, we share no equal struggles. But the cage will kill us all. But the cage will kill us all. But the cage will kill us all. But the cage will kill us all.
So you're back. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Pamela Santos, and I have in studio the Abioto sisters. I intentionally played that song. It's almost to the end, but the particular lyric. So Ginger Brew is Asian American, but I felt like this one of that last lyrics, like hands up, don't shoot. But then the lyric, we share no equal struggle, but the cage will kill us all. So I brought that up kind of as a way of acknowledging. So in case this is your first time ever listening to Bread and Roses, Santos is a Filipino name. I'm Filipino. I'm clearly not someone coming with a lived experience of like black lived experience, but and I feel like it's a good thing to talk about this. In our collective, I'd kind of like brought it up to different people like, hey, like when we do different shows, it'd be really good if we had somebody, like if we're talking about trans or queer issues, that'll be like a queer collective member that's gonna host, or we have co-hosts, or we do these things. And part of what I was thinking about today was like, oh my gosh, I didn't have enough time to make it work to have someone who's in the collective, who's black, to co-host with me. So I thought about those kinds of things. And then I thought how probably not that many people think about that stuff, about actually having someone who is interviewing share the lived experience, share that same identity. And so I thought about, wow, how is it for artists of color, but especially, you know, I would say like black artists here in Portland, to have your work critiqued, have people who interview you and they're white, like can we have, is it possible and fair to have like, and yeah, I'm gonna just go right into it, like can you have white people fairly critique your work and your body of work?
Well, let's see. I've been thinking about this a lot in different capacities. And I mean, I'm glad you're the host, you know, and that you're asking these questions, because I think you need both, you know. Like, it'd be awesome, you know, it's awesome to be interviewed by someone who has a form of a inside knowledge, but it's also cool to, you know, I think you can do both. I'm like excited to, you know, hear your perspectives, your thoughts. And I think an interview is a way to ask questions, but also say things and come upon new questions. So that's intriguing. I think I've kind of come about art in like a really, I could say from the side, but I would say from my front. Like we didn't really come through somebody else's platform, you know, like, we're independent artists, you know, there's no one really critiquing in our process. There's no one really critiquing us. So it's like, okay, you can't say this, you can't do this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, this isn't going to go over well. Like, you just kind of put out what you put out. And that has a freedom to it, because you start speaking through your art or asking questions through your art. And I also say maybe, and I'm open to what you guys have to say, I also feel like it has something to do with our upbringing too. Like, it was very black-centric, very black-focused. Yeah. Like, being in Memphis, it's like a lot of, it's like, I think it's 65% black. We grew up around a lot of black artists and thinkers and activists. So I never, when I was speaking or making art, it was never like with a view of like what white people are going to think about it. Whether they're gonna like it or not, it was just, we're just doing us, you know. It wasn't even a thought of like somebody's watching me or thinking about it. So now, and I think we maybe brought that kind of way of moving here, like just get out and do something. And so I think as you grow and, you know, people want to see more of your art and you're brought into different people's platforms or like collaboration, there's this confusion and tug of war of like, oh, so like now I have to alter, you know? And I think it's weird. It's weird. I mean, I think you have to learn to, I mean, I don't know, what do you guys have to say about it? But like, it's weird. Often it can be wrong, you know, but it's all, I don't know. It depends on the scenario. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Well, I guess I can't really speak from that lens of like, I don't know how do I think the white gaze will will, I don't know, look upon my art or something. I think it's more of a self-critique, really. Mm-hmm. Like, and maybe that has to do with a white gaze or some kind of gaze or something that's impacted me. But I think also, I mean, just personally speaking, I'm dealing with these things of like, of self-value, self-worth, of my personal artistic worth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of the thing for me. Mm-hmm. And in terms of white people, I think maybe sometimes, I don't want to say how they feel, but sometimes there's just silence around the art, you know? Like sometimes it's just silence. It's just deafening silence. And you want to be like validated, you know? Or you want someone to say, okay, I know what that is, you know? Or there's like this thing of like self-pity or like oh, my stuff isn't edgy enough or something. I don't know, like, because you're black, at least this is what I've experienced. Like, your story immediately becomes, like, the edgiest thing. And then, like, it's like a, okay, well, my thing was, you know, I don't know, I'm white, and so, I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
That's actually happened. We're like, oh, no, like, this is just me and, like, my white perspective. So it's not, like, your perspective.
Exactly.
And that's a hard comment to sometimes hear also, because they don't realize that it's actually a little bit, I don't want to say insulting. It's not insulting. It's self-deprecating, and then you just put the spotlight back on,
yeah,
like white feelings.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of that, rerouting the spotlight through various means. And
when they could clearly just comment on what they just saw, or experienced, or you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky. I think an artist in different parts of their self-development experiences the different things. Because I also kind of feel like, and I wonder if anybody else experiences this, I kind of feel like I'm going through a second teenage identity crisis.
Yes.
In my late 20s. It's rough out here.
Ooh.
It's rough.
Oh my
like,
God, please speak on this.
Self-value, self-esteem, like, it feels like friendships, artistic collaboration, comparison, valuing yourself in your identity, your like gender identity. I feel like so intense these days. It's like deep and dark and lots of highs and lows, and I think it's rough. it's rough. And I will also say in connection to what you were saying about the self-critique, I've been wanting to see where the white gaze is my gaze. Where like we, through being in this culture, we've been taught to reference their gaze even when we look at ourselves and at each other. Mm-hmm. So it's not just what they're doing, but like what I've been programmed to see and not do and not say. And like you can, you know, I think we grew up in this like kind of black revolutionary, black, know about blackness, know about all this stuff. So I felt like for a while, I'm good, like I got it. But now I feel not the opposite, but I feel like I have to go deeper.
Yeah.
And it's hard both in that sense, but it's also in the personal sense of like
this human work.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's like just crossing bounds. Mm-hmm. It's just human work.
Yeah, you're right. It is human work.
Is it finding that finding yourself in a lot of deep self-reflection? And it's sort of what I was thinking about was, how am I decolonizing, like, my identity, and then subsequently, then I guess, my art? How am I going to keep decolonizing? And I was having this conversation with somebody of how I don't actually think I was woke until I came to Portland. And because that identity in New York is that, like, it's so multicultural all day, every day. You're just, you're seeing this. And then it becomes this thing where people say as if it's okay to, it's like excusing the stares or something. Just saying like, oh, I grew up in a white town, so I didn't see black people, so I stare. It's like, no, actually you don't have to stare. But, so yeah, I actually didn't, I want to say get radical or start to think about things in a way, questioning, you know, looking at white supremacy, looking at whiteness until I was just surrounded by whiteness.
Listen, listen, I think it's not a one time, oh, you got there, you got to the mark, you like you made it to the box. Like, I feel like it's this weird journey, and it's sometimes you're like, okay, I got this. I made a revelation. Then sometimes you're like, man, I do not have this. Like, it's rough. And I feel like this. I've been having this thought. White supremacy, whether it's like outspoken white supremacy or just our culture, you know that, you know those keys to success, that guy, man, what's
there's
his
like
name?
A number. There's like a number, right?
No, that guy, what's his name? I'm not really, Khalid or something. He has like, you know, they don't want you to eat breakfast or something. I feel like white supremacy does not want you to see white supremacy. White supremacy does not want you to speak about white supremacy. So it's like, you know, it's like this thing of like,
to keep it going.
It's like air. It needs to be like air. So if you speak about it, it's like, don't speak of the devil. Don't speak of the angel. Like, don't speak, you know? And so I feel like in this context of Portland, and I don't know how other people have been experiencing it, but like, it still becomes about, it still makes it primary. It makes the whiteness primary, even if it's beyond the bodies who are in the city, the you know, the numbers, the population. If I can't, if we can't, it's so complex, and like sometimes, but sometimes it's just so simple, and people want it to be complex, and it's simple, and it's it's like, I think
we're just gonna have to become a regular thing. If that, like, our cultures or ways of being or ways of speaking or hearing or feeling or making or creating is just gonna become a regular thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, white people or white supremacy, they're just gonna have to deal with it.
Yes, this is the other thing. Yes,
just gonna have to deal with it.
Yes,
and
like,
and when they say stuff, just plan to get called out. Like, whether it's a joke, whether it's just a
can I tell you?
Go for
it. I'm so sorry. I wanted to ask, have you ever had people ask you, why do you hate white people?
Actually,
or like, do you hate white people or something?
Actually, no.
I've never had that.
Wow, nobody wants to actually just tell you. They just want to tell an Asian woman, but
oh really? Oh, okay.
Well, that's just the thing. Yeah, I mean, whether or not it's just online or something, but it's just like, oh, why do you hate white people? I'm like, I don't hate white people.
Yeah,
I hate white supremacy and I hate whiteness.
Yeah,
like as a system that oppresses me and so many people. So no, I don't hate white people. I hate the system.
That's strange. And that's that white, like, pity, guilt, or like, you know, why do you that feeling thing.
Yeah.
It's that like putting the spotlight back
on their feelings.
And I so much.
So see, this is what I'm saying with the art that you said about like being free.
So yes.
This. But then there's this undercurrent of, isn't it okay for us to still be angry and to still put that in the art, and it speaks for itself.
Yes.
And anger is not unhealthy.
It's so much. We're all people here. We all have our own ways of speaking and talking, and we're still learning how to speak and talk and be. I feel like there's this, in different communities and different cities, you're farther along in the conversation. Like here, it's like, if I talk about my experience, if I'm talking openly about whiteness, if I'm not afraid to say white people, you know, if I'm not afraid to say, and I don't mean that as like, this is one monolithic people who aren't individuals. I mean, this is the culture of how we engage and how you're supported and how other people are devalued.
It's okay.
Okay. It's crazy. Ring
tones, alarm. My phone's on mute, but it keeps doing this crazy alarm.
You gotta exit out.
Okay. But,
this is what happens. This is live radio. That's okay.
Yeah, but like, I feel like, what was I saying? Like, I feel like, and even we can be rerouted. Like, I've been depressed. You know, like I've been, it's a lot of pressure doing these art projects. It's a lot of pressure doing these art projects around identity. And like, I feel like I got rerouted too when it's like, okay, I'm doing this project and I'm doing it because I always, you know, I like white people. Like, I'm always supporting us. I'm seeing us around the city. I'm posting it. And then like, you can, your purpose and your sense of things can be rerouted through the addition of gaze. And that's not even you making the art. That's just the gaze and how you interact with the gaze and the gaze interacts with you and what does it all mean. And we're, you know, looking at so many gazes. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like you need both. You need to be able to say, you know, this is what happened. And like, no, I'm not going to be quiet because you want to feel good or not feel guilty, which is upholding you still. Like, you know, that. But then it becomes this thing of two, like, whatever, forget it. Like, I'm doing me. I'm doing this. I'm celebrating us. You know, like, you need both. You need both that, like, you need both of those things. And that's what I was connecting with the thing you were saying, Kalima, like, just get out on the scene and like dance and bust, like, break it up.
You gotta break the box.
Yeah.
I don't know, because we are coming from different perspectives, even though we're black, you know, and you're Filipino, like, but there's so much in there, you know. and I think I'm not sure if that's particularly what you're talking about, but I think, and maybe I'm thinking about community too. Like when you have to both advocate for community, but you have to continue to be yourself. That's what I feel. What I feel continually.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to that holding space event. Like, I just think that if there wasn't this sense of community already existing, like, I think it would have felt more forced. It would have felt more, not artificial. What do I want to say? It would have felt more like this is coming from an art world that's just like, oh, we're just like crossing off diversity and inclusion.
Which happens.
Which it's here.
And I think that's also the awesome thing about that event, holding space. And like, there are some, I mean, there are amazing artists in this city, but I feel like the artists of color, the black artists, you know, these, like, I feel like we know each other. And, you know, through people like Stacey Tran, different people who are gathering together, whether it's, whether it's like BCC, whether it's BCC Brown Hall, I think we kind of support each other. I mean, I feel warm. I feel the warmth. I feel like welcome. And I think that's the possibility that just needs to be like, just like needed and made
and nurtured.
You know? Yeah. And I think even we have to, it's both. You have to have the information and you have to be able to communicate it. But, oh, this is the other thing. Real quick. I do not like the word inclusion. And I do not.
I really want emojis right now.
Like, I do not like it because it's like, I've been thinking about all these words. They just start to mean nothing. Like, you don't get a different seat at the table. I don't need to be included in what you're doing.
Equity. I don't even know what inclusion means.
Like, we, like let's like, you know, I don't need to be, like, absorbed into, like, an environment. No, like, y'all coming out, too. Y'all stepping out of y'all selves, too. Like, come over here. Let's all come over here, not come over where you are, which is, like, what...
And constantly forcing us to come where you are.
Is that and talk to you. And talk to you and make it good for you. Mm-hmm. Teach you and make the art. That's the thing. Teach it, say it, explain it, do it.
Can I say even that, like, it was super surprising to me that the ratio of how many more white people were at Holding Space than I expected, only because I only knew of it from other POC artists, and then who was gonna go. So I'm just like, oh, is this the thing where, you know, white Portlanders are gonna like show that they're down by going to a POC event?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm...
So it's like, it's more complex than like, just like, oh, let's just let everybody, you know, be welcoming and this. And I don't think it's as easy as people try to do it for policies and for like official ways to do it. I think it's like, yes, come to us. Also, hi, do not take over. Hi, do not make it about... you just now. Hi, just listen. Or whatever it could be, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I cannot believe, I just need to tell you all that I cannot believe we're actually almost up to our hour.
Yeah.
Yes. Much to know, much to discuss.
Wow. I am so honored that you all share this little time with me. Just
we're
now,
to be here. Yes.
This is amazing, and we just like, I even promised somebody else. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna try to go in. I'm gonna try."
Yeah. Like,
but do you have any parting words before we kind of go out on a song in a little bit?
Well, I do.
I know you had a lot of clapbacks to go into.
I do. I mean, I feel like, I mean, that poem I read, I wrote that poem 8 years ago on a blog for a project we did called The People Could Fly. And about 2 weeks ago, Kalima, like, she sent it to me in the email. She just sent the text, and I just thought it was, I thought it was her poem. I thought she, you know, cause I didn't recognize it. And I think, and I read it and then I figured out it was my poem, but I feel like there's this thing of like, we can revive each other. Like, I needed to read that poem about from my own self that I wrote that I forgot that, you know, and like, you know, it's not all... But, like, we can revive each other through our artwork.
Right.
And, like, through being together and, like, talking and sharing. There's, like, water and energy inside of that that can revive us. And I think we need to keep doing that. And, like, it's not all about... Yeah, that's how I feel. Keep reviving each other with the waters of your artistic selves.
Yeah. Yes.
I need that on a t-shirt. I need it. I need it on something. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Brian Roses. We're here holding space for feminists and women every Friday at 6 o'clock. Please tune in next week. We're going to go out on Ocean. Oh my gosh, I'm butchering the title. I think it was I Wake Up. Yes. So, yes, it's I Wake Up coming up. And please, it is the first day of National Poetry Month. Please write. Write a poem a day. Write one poem for the whole month. Whatever you want to do. Please speak your life. And thank you.
Observe, sisters. Uncle Sam, Uncle Tom, Big Brother, the whole family's coming for your left fist. Pick a signs ain't gonna make change.
Learn your principles. You rap in revolution, but you work for the institution. When will you declare your destiny? When will you obliterate all that associate with the forged realities of the day? Insubordination is alive. Young Africans, you are blinded. There will be no resting in peace. There is no alternative. Re-evolve until your uneasiness is solved. Compliance does not exist. Hear the sounds of your alarm. No snooze will soothe the tears on a pew. Music, muses, blues and yellows. There will be no resting in peace.
But what is revolution? What is solution when no knowledge the problem? See, do you? Stay broke, stay choking on my pride. If my phone rings, please know that I'm inside myself. My eyes burn blue, for they sizing up your time to be through with coon calling. I'm reading you, feeding you, pleading you. Wake up.
It's 7 o'clock, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
A Washington Post investigation revealed that of all fatal shootings by police in 2015, almost one quarter involved a person who was mentally unstable. Tune in to Prison Pipeline on April 4th to hear St. Helens Police Chief Terry Moss discuss how crisis intervention training is changing how police interact with people with mental illness and how police are helping to divert them from incarceration. That's Prison Pipeline, April 4th at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Climate Change Tools for Faith Communities, a workshop led by Tim DeChristopher, Saturday, April 9th, starting at 10 a.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. During this day-long workshop, Sewell Lecture Speaker Tim DeChristopher will share integrated and multi-faith strategies to prevent climate change and environmental injustice, combat poverty, and restore dignity to both people and the planet.